our foreign policy begins at home, and it must always be a balance between realism and idealism. It means we must have no illusions about our place in the world. But small as we are, for 60 years, we have refused to adopt a fatalistic posture. We have insisted on agency to build our strength, to protect our sovereignty, maintain our relevance, to create political and economic space for ourselves. We strive to be useful, but not to be made use of. And of course, to avoid becoming a sacrificial pawn between big powers. Now, I've dwelt at length on the dangers arising from the end of the previous world order. The point is, I'm making an appeal for us all to be alert, to be realistic, and to be careful in these dangerous times. But a note of caution is not a call for pessimism. Because, in fact, Singapore has good reason to have confidence in our future due to the pioneering work of past generations. Today, we are in a strong position. Our core strengths are based on three key pillars. First, our economic strength and our reserves. Second, our ability to stand on our two feet and to defend ourselves. And third, our domestic cohesion. Because of our strength economically, we cannot be bullied or bought. We have significant national reserves, and if the biggest criticism that we face in this budget is budget marksmanship and having more reserves than we had anticipated, I think that's a reason for celebration, considering the circumstances in which we are going into. This is an enormous advantage. You know, on the international stage, if you have to put your hand out for assistance, it means you have no say. It is a big advantage for Singapore not to have to beg for aid. We have no need for assistance or loans that will subject us to external pressure. We are not dependent on any single external partner. And perhaps even more importantly, and you've just heard Minister Ng's speech earlier, we do not depend on any external country to defend Singapore. We have the capability and the will to defend ourselves. For six decades, we've invested fiscal resources approved by Parliament, and every man in this chamber and his sons has served national service. The fact that everybody knows that we're good for our money and we put our blood where we stand on is the core of deterrence and respect. But all this is not enough if we didn't have unity at home. And we need to live up to the pledge to be one united people regardless of race, language, or religion. And on this note, I want to thank the opposition that so far we have worked on the basis that politics stops at the water's edge. And our diplomacy works because we have painstakingly forged and maintained domestic consensus on our core long-term interests and foreign policy priorities. Now, our diversity in Singapore does mean that from time to time, Singaporeans will have different views on developments around the world. And we have to provide space for this diversity to be expressed, but without letting it become a means to divide us as a country. A clear example is the disaster in Gaza. It is a deeply emotional issue. And many Singaporeans feel very deeply about this, have expressed a range of emotions, and sometimes even conflicting emotions on this point. But let me be clear. When we make our foreign policy decisions, we do so on the basis of national interests. The attack by Hamas on the 7th of October 2023 was an act of terror. No ifs, buts, root causes, justifications. And the reason why we have to be so categorical is because if Singapore was ever attacked in this way, and the risks are not zero, but if Singapore was ever attacked in this way, we too would certainly exercise our right of self-defense to the full. And it is why, that in the aftermath of that attack, we had strongly reaffirmed the right to self-defense. You see, in the case of both Ukraine and Hamas, we took positions for our own sake, for our own national interests, and not because we were taking sides. At the same time, that right of self-defense must be consistent with international law, humanitarian law, and the Geneva Conventions. And that's why we told Israel directly and personally that Israel's military response has gone too far. And we say all this because it is in our national interests for international law to be upheld and not to be flouted. Singapore's long-standing position on the Israeli-Palestinian issue is that the only path to a just, durable, and comprehensive peace is a negotiated two-state solution. And we have consistently supported the right of the Palestinian people to a homeland of their own since the 60s. In fact, since we became independent. To this end, we will continue to support the Palestinian Authority to build a capacity and to prepare for eventual statehood. And we do so through our enhanced technical assistance package. But that's not enough, because we all do feel deep sympathy for the immense suffering of the civilians. And thus far, Singapore and Singaporeans have contributed 7 tranches of aid and monetary donations to Gaza worth over $19 million. And we will do more. And funds are being collected even now in this month, the holy month of Ramadan. And I thank Singaporeans for their generosity. And you heard Minister Ng explain that we make the extra effort to deliver these supplies through the RSAF. It is crucial, therefore, that we stay united and keep being able to adopt this collective, constructive approach, even when we have different views to events and tragedies far from our shores. And the reason, a deeper reason why we need to do this is because, in fact, if conflict broke out nearer us in Asia, it will have not only even greater emotional resonance, it will have a larger economic impact. And it will also elicit a range of reactions from our people, and it will be even harder to manage. It's also worth remembering that there will always be external actors who will try to influence the views of our people and take advantage of our diversity. In fact, long before the onset of kinetic action, we must expect grey zone tactics to be used to divide and polarize our people. And so we must be prepared. We can have different views, but we will stay united and we will close ranks on issues of national interest so that we can ultimately secure what's best for Singapore. We are at the end of an era. There's no doubt about that. And the most dangerous phase is when one world order is being replaced by a new world order. The interregnum is likely to be chaotic, difficult, dangerous, and tumultuous. Singapore and Singaporeans, every one of us will need to be realistic, to be careful, and to be nimble. But the point is, we do have strengths, and there are opportunities ahead. We must stay principled, calm, confident, and continue to be relevant, to be useful, to be an honest broker. And we need the support and unity of all Singaporeans, all of you inside this House and Singaporeans outside Parliament. to forge an unbreakable unity in the midst of great tumult and volatility. And if we can do so, then we can face the future with confidence, and Singapore will emerge stronger.